You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Paul Esposito. I thank you for joining me here today, friends. God bless you. Thanks for taking 15 minutes of your day to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. Let's see, what can we do today in 15 minutes? Well, I'll tell you where we're going to go. We're going to hear a sermon I preached a while ago at Island Community Church. The sermon is entitled, Is God Through with the Jew? Now, that's a title I stole from the great, late, great Adrian Rogers. I love that title. So I figured that'd make a great sermon. His title, my sermon, Is God Through with the Jew? What is up with the nation of Israel? Is God done dealing with them? Have we replaced the nation of Israel as the apple of God's eye? This is the subject to the sermon that's going to play here today, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and it'll be taken out of Romans chapter 11. There's a lot of bad theology out here regarding this. Is God through with the Jew? Romans chapter 11. Now, as you turn in there, for more info on this ministry, you can go to WGODradio.com. And my Facebook page is WGOD Radio. And that's more info. You can hear these other podcasts. There's some 5 years worth of programs uploaded on here on my Facebook or on my website. Once again, WGODradio.com. Our church meets twice a week, Wednesday night for Bible study. We left off in Acts chapter 5 about a week ago at the death of Ananias and Sapphira. That's where we're going to pick it up Wednesday night from 6 to 7. Sunday morning, we have two churches left. We're going to be looking at the Faithful Church of Philadelphia Sunday morning. More on that as we get toward the end of the week. Now let's hear part one of this message, Is God Through with the Jew?
Jesus, keep me near the cross. Is God through with the Jew? It's the name of this message today. I love that title. I borrowed that from Adrian Rogers. I once heard say that. Though the message is not borrowed, but the title is God through with the Jew? Now, the first sentence on the handout that's been provided, I made this statement. We all have heard that Israel is the apple of God's eye. Well, let me say, as the apple of His eye, they're not doing too well, are they? So what's going on with Israel? What is up with the Jews? Is God done with them? I remember when Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ, was released. The Jews pitched a fit over that movie, claiming that it would cause more anti-Semitism. So Mel Gibson removed one line and one line alone from that movie. You know what it was? It was a scripture verse, Matthew chapter 27, verse 25. It says, let His blood be on us and on our children. That's what he removed in honor of the Jews and their complaint. Let His blood be on us and on our children. So let's ask the question then, was God's response to that request, I reckon I can accommodate you? We're going to answer that question here this morning, most assuredly. Because this is no mystery, and it's no gray area either. If you would please turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 11, if you're not there already. In verse 1, we cut right to the chase. Paul says, I say then, has God cast away his people? He asked the question. So we can see that you aren't the only ones who's wondering about this. I mean, look around today. All the evidence points to it, that God has washed his hands of the nation of Israel. And the church is now the people of God. It would appear that way. Again, verse 1, and let's add the next few words after his question. I say then, has God cast away his people? Then it says, certainly not. In Greek, meganoito. That does not mean, oh, you silly. This response is a vein-popping, fist-slamming, double negative, which would carry this kind of weight. Paul said to this, what, are you crazy? The King James Version, rightfully so, says this, God forbid. Is God done with the Jews? The King James Version, God forbid. So let's see if I get this right. Is God done with the nation of Israel? Paul says, what are you crazy? The King James says, God forbid. Paul Esposito says, in Jersey lingo, forget about it. Daffy Duck would say, that's preposterous. The Catholic Church says, yes. They've killed over 10 times more Jews than Hitler ever did. The Presbyterian Church would say to that, yes, yes. So let's see if I get it right. Paul says, God forbid. The Catholic Church says, yes. Who are you going to believe? It's up to you to decide that. This is what I'm talking about when I say you have to interpret this book literally. That's what we've been looking at here on Thursday night. And I've been on it on the radio for 2 weeks now. Why interpret the book of Revelation literally when possible? Because you run into these kind of problems when you don't. Paul says God is not done dealing with the Jews. He still has a plan for them. Those two groups I just singled out to you spiritualize the Bible. And in so doing, they err and end up with not rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm sorry, but that's a fact. When you believe that Nero was the Antichrist, you've not rightly divided the word of truth. When you believe the book of Revelation's already been fulfilled, you're not rightly dividing the word of truth. Make no mistake about it. Once the tribulation is here and the man of sin is revealed, there'll be no mistaking about it. Now, back to the top again in verse 1. I say then, has God cast away his people? God forbid. For I too am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. In essence, he's saying, are you crazy? How do you account for me? Right? Now, Paul gives two examples here to prove his point. First example he gives is himself. For I too, or I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Now, before we get to his second example, he makes this comment, verse 2. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Meaning, these chain events didn't take him by surprise. He knew this was going to happen. The Greek word there, prognosko, means to know in advance, where our English word prognosis comes from. What a joke, isn't it? Us using that word, prognosis, right? Hey, weatherman, what's your prognosis? All right, forecast, same thing. How about the doctor, though? Let's not leave him out, right? Doctor, what's your, Dr. Doolittle, what's your prognosis? As if man had a prognosis. You know, there's an old saying in this world that the only thing certain is death and taxes. And as I've read in the Bible, I've come to realize that not even that is true. I don't plan on dying. I don't know about you. Many of you know here that that's on my bucket list, is not dying. The Lord Jesus himself said in John 11:26, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And I answer to that, yes, Lord, I believe it. Think about it. For a privileged few, and I believe that that's you, of all the ages our sovereign God could have breathed life into you, he chose this age when even a blind man would surmise looks like the end of the age. So before I leave and go on to point number two here, what's my prognosis? What is Paul Esposito's prognosis? What do I know in advance? This, Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's my prognosis to you. That is what I know. You believe in Jesus Christ and call on the name of the Lord. You believe God has raised him from the dead. You will be saved. That's my perfect, guaranteed prognosis, which in the name of God, I guarantee you today, if you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Amen? Example number two, Elijah. Elijah thought he was the last believer in Israel. Verse 2. God has not cast away his people whom he prognosco. Don't you know what the scripture says? In other words, haven't you read your Bible? Don't you know what the scripture says of Elijah? How he pleads with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. What does a divine response say to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So Paul's response to these people was, don't you know your Bible? Funny, isn't it? Even back in Elijah's time, 800 years before Christ, almost 3,000 years ago, it seems that God has turned his back on Israel and was done with them. Even God's number one servant, who heard his voice audibly, thought this. And he said it, I alone am left. He thought he was the only one. He thought God was through with the Jew. In that day, the Israelites were worshiping false gods and were in terrible idolatry, and God still had his hand on them. But Paul has already answered this question for us. God is not done dealing with the nation of Israel. God told Elijah that he still had a believing remnant of faithful Jews, true children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who believed and kept his commandments.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time.